Welcome to What's My Thesis. I'm Javier Proenza, and today my guest is Tito Whitney Lex. You came up from Long Beach. I appreciate you making the drive. We were talking a little bit, like you were talking before we started recording. I kept saying like, wait, save it for the podcast, because you were giving me some pretty interesting insights. So people that aren't familiar, you just had a show at the Long Beach Museum, and then you were also in the Made in LA show. Which I've already talked about on the over here, which is interesting because it's not necessarily only people from LA. It's like people that are active in LA at the time.
Yeah, that's the survey.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you could make like a number of those shows and they would be all great, actually, because there's such a great diversity out here. But I was really grateful to, you know, take part in the whole event.
Well, just going off of that, I have a lot of questions. Like, I'm catching up to all the stuff we talked about and bringing it back up. But I'm curious about the process of that, how the curators come by and how they do that. Like, do you meet with a curator? Do you meet with a team of curators? What does that work like?
Well, what I understand, it takes 2 years to really climb up to that curator project. And they really spend the first year scoping out the artists that are active right now, and then dig in a little further. I believe it went from like 1500 artists to, they had to come down to 200 and do 200 studio visits, and then from there get down to 40. I think it was like 39 artists in total for the biennial show.
Do you think you as a person have ever done close to 200 studio visits just on a personal level? Like in your interactions, that sounds like a crazy amount, you know, like, right. You know what I mean? Like that's insane. Well, cool. And then, how do you like, I mean, first of all, congratulations. All right. You're from Long Beach. Let's get a little bit of background on you. You grew up there. You went to school where?
Yes, I'm from Long Beach, Southern California. So from LA, it's like 30, 40 minute drive with no traffic. Born and raised, so I believe like middle school, high school, and college was like almost all on the same street.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cal State, CSU?
Cal State Long Beach University. I was recommended to that program from my high school art teacher.
Oh, okay.
I decided like, I guess that's the place to go. I had a sister that already was attending there. She was taking the graphic design program. And so I was like, you know what? I guess I didn't really know what to do with myself anyway during that time. I guess the other idea was like being a math teacher. Like, I like that. I don't
really.
Oh, yeah, okay. I like math. I was pretty good at it.
Not very common in artists' communities, the mathematician bent.
I guess with math, it was like, there was like a right answer.
Yeah.
To be correct to a very professional degree. But then art, I thought about it, I was like, you know, this is like adult school. Like, we're all grown and we're here to just figure out what we're capable and take it to like a career height. And I saw that actually, I took notice of it, but I still wasn't confident. Applied for the school anyway. Went in as undeclared, actually.
You went in as undeclared?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then...
You were still thinking maybe math? Okay.
Yeah, I was just trying to be like... Because it just... I can tell in my family, they're all like, is that going to pay the bills?
And yeah,
I was like, I don't know.
Little did they know.
Right?
This is what you said off air, but you've been an artist full time since, 2021, you said?
Yeah, like summer of 2021.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, so to give the full context of your parents' doubt and like, you know, of that story and that arc where you're like actually making a living now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because people could be showing at these spaces and not necessarily have those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. So my decision, like my epiphany, this like commitment really was cemented in me in like 2014. Mm-hmm. I was like 3 years in college already. I had joined the program. I was starting in it. I think I just entered the BFA program, so I extended it by 2 more years of being in college. Didn't even know I did that.
Yeah.
And I had 3 years left. But I went to New York for the first time. It was all fully funded for me. And I had joined the grad students on the very intense trip of like visiting 12 artist studios. There was like
This was through Cal State?
This was like a program that was kind of like gone quiet for a bit. And they had been able to revamp it with the Do It Foundation.
Okay.
And it made such an impression on the class that went along with me that they decided to actually continue it the following years.
Oh,
after.
Wow.
It certainly made an impression on me because New York was totally different. I've never gone, been there before. And just the kind of access and the exposure I had made me realize like, oh, this is... Also thinking about the fact they helped funded it, I just kind of something light bulb went off. I was like, you know what? Maybe I can do something in this. You know, I have people who are actually supporting me to move in this direction. And so I came back home actually with a different attitude and also was, took a while to notice, but it's different in LA, like to see art, you know, you got to put gas in the car. You got to like drive all the way out. You have to look for parking, you know, and then it was actually a lot to have to find the spots out here.
So it was like a lot more immediate as an experience is what I'm getting.
Yeah. Like
it was like there for you. You didn't have to, like, it sounds like the difference between the description is that like in LA there's like barriers. You kind of have to get off the couch and do all these things. Whereas like you can basically just,
I think the exposure too, cause just having to talk to the yesterday going to Rio Hondo College and talking to the students, I really like, you know, they're really in just their beginning stages of what kind of culture has been out there in the world. Mm. And for me, I was in school. Like I was literally in the same boat. I just like, I've just been in school for a good chunk of my life. I've never had to deal with the real world, never had to take it on for myself. But in this cohort of faculty and like peers, we're pushing each other to really just experience it all while we're having intense studies and conversations. So I came back totally different. I had 3 years left and I really like stuck my head in the books. I actually studied as an abstract painter.
Okay.
So
then, because you do, for people that don't know, you do more representational stuff, right?
Now. Yeah. Okay. I totally flipped once I left school, and it was because one, the department was split. Actually, it was figurative and abstract at the time. Don't know why it shouldn't have been, in my opinion, but that's what it was, and I decided to go with the abstract because I knew nothing of it. I was like, figurative seems pretty digestible. Right? So it turned out being a great direction because that ended up being the foundation of how I was able to move forward with the figurative. Mm-hmm. And I didn't tap into the figurative until I left school because, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that the figurative thing, because even figurative work technically is an abstraction of what you actually see. So as a foundation, abstraction makes sense that would be like, you know, abstraction is just pushing it all the way, you know, so as a basis to then get back, like it probably informs the way that, you know, that was one of the things that clicked for me when I was first learning to draw. It's like in school, we did plein air drawing a lot. And just like realizing that like it's a process of coding something, you know, like you're making a code and then that code is sort of like what you put into it. And that decision-making process is what you put into it. But I imagine that abstraction basis is probably really helpful in that.
Super. Like it helps me deconstruct myself and then reconstruct it in my own mark making.
Yeah. Do you mostly paint, right? Do you do any other stuff? I mean, that's how I know you. You do other kinds of.
I dabble in other art forms. So printmaking is the other art form. Mostly linoleum cuts.
Okay.
But I'm familiar with all of the other like print, like a silk screen. I did like a survey course, and it was like my last year. My last semester at Cal State Long Beach. So that actually left, it was a great merge of like the concept of like drawing and just also kind of necessary steps to find an end result or be surprised by a result.
Yeah, yeah.
It was also this like other notion in drawing like this relationship to the surface that I end up pulling into my painting process. And it was the idea, you know how in paper you really embrace the white or what the paper has offered. And so I took that very same idea into my paintings and thought about it for the canvas. So I actually start off with raw canvas.
Okay. Oh, so you don't gesso it. You draw directly.
I do gesso it, okay. But it's like, that's where we start.
Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You enjoy the step.
You have to appreciate all of what the canvas is already offering. And part of that for me was there was this nuance of texture that offered this spatial difference. And so I took that in consideration of like, how should I stretch out my mediums in a certain way that really implies space or like contrast space with what the soft canvas already offers. And watercolor techniques became a part of my recipe. And then the mediums like acrylic paints. I studied with oils in school, but once I left school, working as an art assistant, I ended up having to use acrylic paints.
Yeah.
And then the watercolors came along for another artist I had did some work for.
So that's interesting. So you've taken us from like the 2018, right? Or 2014, which is when you did the impactful thing. So you said something really interesting in that preamble where we were just kind of talking as I was setting everything up that I think resonated to me because I had never heard it said like this. And I was saying that in art school, they don't really teach the business side of things. And you said that the business side of it is almost impossible to teach in that context. Can you expand on that? Because I mean, you have genuine, unique experience that I don't have that I think is instructional and might be beneficial to people listening. Because I had never thought of that, you know?
Okay, so I'll have to describe this. My last...
If it's too much, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just trying to think of like, how did I process all of this while I was in school and then was gonna... It was coming. It was gonna be the end. Life was going to hit me. I was gonna need to pay the bills. And so I gave myself a timeline, actually. I told myself 3 years. I was like, you spent 6 years in school. Please tell me you're not gonna waste it. You got 3 years to figure out how to utilize everything.
What year did you graduate?
Graduated in 17.
17, okay. So actually, it did end up happening in around... accounting for the COVID wrench in the system.
I think it was a perfect storm for me for things to start happening because I just was really basically marinating the next 3 years after I graduated. I told myself I have no experience of what it means to be in the art scene. I didn't go to any galleries or opening shows out there while I was a student. So that was the time for me to go. And I definitely took it upon myself to find work in those fields because I certainly wanted to be exposed, but I didn't want to have to force myself to be the artist because I still wasn't even confident in my own work. Like, I just needed to be in a position where I have a studio space. I can make work. I'm trying to basically drown out all the noise from school and just reconstruct myself all over again where I can really own my voice. Graduated the spring of 2017. Found a job as an art assistant by the end of summer.
Mm-hmm.
3 months after that, got a studio in LA because it just made sense. I was actually working on two jobs at the time, art assisting and then another job to pay the bills. And I, by the time I got off of work, it was rush hour.
Yeah.
2 hours to get home.
Jeez, yeah, yeah. So you just got a studio up here.
And I shared half of it with a schoolmate of mine that graduated with me and became this routine for the next 3 years. Like, it actually put me in a very disciplined setup. I was also working with this artist that was really just really utilizing like all the knowledge I had gained in school and had me exercise it, you know, with his career. Watching him actually was a big deal. I was able to see how he was working with the in context with like collaborating with galleries and other artists, and that was unfolding in front of me. I even was able to get work as like working at the front desk of a gallery. So that was super informative, and I did take that into account as I like moved around from space to space. I met a lot of artists. I worked for a lot, assisted for many.
Well, you know, some of the more successful people that I've had on the show. So like, you know, Elmer, who just got signed with, do you have representation, or are you still like just getting by on not having representation, but just having shows?
I no representation.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's cool to see that that is possible too.
Yeah, it's such a tricky place. So that's kind of like my learning curve I'm going through right now. I'm very young in my career.
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 30.
You're 30. Okay.
Yeah, but I just started like.
Oh, your career is very young, is what you meant. Okay, my mistake.
Yeah, career is young. It's only been like. My debut was in-person debut was in 2021.
So what show was that?
I had my first LA show in a group show at So and Taylor, and I believe it was called Hot Concrete. Yeah. And it was a really amazing lineup of artists, painters that I really respected. And then from there, things went pretty great. Like the following year after that, I had my first LA solo show and my first solo in London.
Nice.
I had my first show in New York.
Did you ever go through like artist run spaces to build up your CV, or you just immediately were in a position to jump on opportunities at more commercial spaces?
No, I definitely did like artist run spaces before this all happened for me.
So that's how you got your, so that is an effective way to get like some exposure into, cause you called it, you called it your debut to the broader art market, is, I guess.
Yeah. For me, I always say that's when I entered the arena.
Yeah. No, perfect. No, dude, this is not language that I have, obviously. So it's interesting to hear. The other thing that you said twice, which I think I picked up on, that's interesting, is that you've deconstructed and reconstructed yourself twice, right? Which is an interesting idea. Can you talk about that? Is that, and then did you have a specific thing that you wanted to talk about today? I'm just so fascinated by all the questions I have for you.
You just ask them away.
Okay.
And I'll do the best I can.
No, and I just, the moment you walked in, I liked your vibe because you're just so non-pretentious. You know, like you're the antithesis of what I think a lot of people in their head, you're just like, whatever, bro. Yeah. I'm already having a lovely time.
That'd be cool.
All right. What was it that I just asked you about? The reconstructing yourself.
Yes. There was definitely a moment when I left school. I knew I was going to have to go through it because I already, when I was on my last year of school, I can already tell I didn't want to listen to people.
And I think that that's what I picked up on when I first met you. Like, and I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be fun.
And it was fun. Yeah. Cause people knew like I'm onto something else. And, so with that coming, when I was done with school, I had a huge identity crisis, because the work I was making while I was in school was abstract. And so I knew it was always surface leveled for me. I could, I actually had been approached by a professor and was asked like, hey, Tina, like, why don't you talk about yourself a little more? Like, why don't you paint about that? And I like brushed it to the side and I was like, no, I'm just focusing on abstract work. But the truth was like, I wasn't ready for it. I already didn't kind of like, I already knew that I didn't like where I come from, or I just wasn't ready to speak on it, or I just didn't even know how to engage with this. So I just pushed it away. And I was like, maybe later. But there were several things that actually planted seeds in me. One was I just didn't have an artist that looked like me. Mm-hmm. That was hard. Like a lot of the artists that they teach is mostly like white or black, mm-hmm. and a few Latino American artists. So I had a hard time like seeing, identifying with myself. But Kerry James Marshall did plant a seed. I saw his work, I believe like the last year or two of school, and it was a retrospective at MoCA, went like three times. And I remember just like a light bulb went off.
Geffen or the one downtown?
The one downtown.
Okay. The smaller one.
Yeah. It really clicked. And like, I was like, you know what, I could see this happening. I just don't know when.
Yeah.
I had picked up on the idea. It's probably going to be after school because I'd never really approached the figurative side of my work or the imagery, that because one department was split, and then I actually didn't.
But it also was slipping.
Yeah, and to be honest, I didn't get along with one of the figurative professors. So uh-huh. I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go wait until I leave. Amir does figurative work, the artist that I work for, and he got the gears turning for me as I started working for him. He had me thinking about like, what does it mean to own yourself? You know, how do I authenticate it? And he doesn't paint the face. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very interesting, approach to having to, you know, confront it. So I was all like, you know, I got my own kind of problem myself, I realized. And once I started I really did paint before I started talking about anything. I didn't even have the words. I couldn't articulate anything. Only until I started painting, I started like taking pictures of things and then like started being selective about what went into the paintings. I was able to find confidence in what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so graduated in 17, I would say deconstruct myself in 18. I was putting myself together in 19, and then by 2020, I found it.
Okay.
I was like super confident. I could speak for the work. I knew where I was going, what I wanted to talk about. And all the things I was painting really it was so powerful. I didn't realize how much of what I had to say in my work was what I had been wanting to have heard this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
These were conversations that I was chasing my family to have with me, but it was difficult. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw it in the painting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let's just.
What kind of conversation specifically?
A lot of it was just the kind of household I grew. So my first solo show in LA, the title of the show is called Household.
Okay.
So I started from a very intimate space, and it was the domestic space, the home. I thought that was a great place to start just because I was all like, you know what? This is very personal. But, you know, in some way I could really bridge the story because everybody has their own home, you know, and they have their own story of how they had to, you know, grow up. And I started from there and was able to develop a lot of, resonated with a lot of people. And it just manifested from that point. Went to London with the next solo show, really expanded on that a little more. It was more of like the female, walking along with this female narrative of her having to go from one part of the neighborhood to another part, leaving home and all that. And I really do think about my mom, actually, in the work that I'm dealing with, the female perspective, Southeast Asian American. There is this timeline of like the 70s until now that I emphasize on. And the work right now has grown beyond the domestic space. So beyond home, it's like the sidewalks, the local Asian market, the liquor store. So I really also think of my work as a form of documentation. Since it's from a very personal perspective, as well as like a welcoming, like documentation, as like you and I were not too far away from the same world, you know?
So going back to the, what's interesting to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like part of the deconstructing and reconstructing was maybe a sense that there wasn't, that you were going to make a space for the things that were important to you, where maybe you didn't necessarily, because you said that there weren't anyone, there wasn't, like, it sounds like you had this idea, like the click happened where you were able to visualize yourself in those spaces, right? Despite not having had any previous examples to sort of relate to. But is that an accurate assessment, like paraphrase of what you're talking about?
Yeah, because that's pretty, literally the light bulb when I was like, you know what, if there is no one out there for me to see as an example, I will do that
for them. That's a pretty, like, where do you find the strength to do that? I mean, because that is not, that is assertive in a way that I definitely get that you're assertive, you know, like that's definitely a vibe, this subtext of you that I enjoy. But what is that? Like, what is it that makes you, gives you that audacity, you know, like, you get what I'm saying? Cause that is a big fucking thing to just claim for yourself, you know?
I do. And this is, oh man. Cause from here it becomes another layer of like a personal thing.
Oh, we don't have to get too deep into the hard stuff if you don't want to.
I could tell the world. I'm not. It's just I get a little tricky because I do get a little emotional. But really, it's because when the New York trip happened, I was at a very difficult place in my life. Actually, I was in a relationship, and it was very toxic. In an abusive relationship, actually. And I was trying to get out. So I wasn't actually like, I was, you know, I was like early 20s. I was like 20, 21. I was a young adult. I really didn't like my life, the situation I was in. So I was so desperate. Like I was kind of like, is art going to do for me? I don't believe in any way. My family doesn't believe it. You know, I'm in this relationship I'm trying to get out of. And the art in some weird way was just like, yo, it's right here. And then when I went to New York, that was it. Like literally I went to New York and I was away from my ex-partner. And I just was like, I kind of was like present and not present. And I really soaked in like the experience that I was off, because I was definitely in a place I've never been in before. I didn't realize, like, I live in this country and it's on the other side. And you know?
And New York is like the antithesis of LA. There's like 80s comics were fixated on that shit.
So I came back and I was just like, that's it. You know, I'm going to give it my all in this direction. So those last 3 years when I buried my head in the books, part of it was because I was also recovering from the relationship. And it just gave me this, I don't know, this kind of odd, like, capacity to really soak in and absorb and be committed, you know, to something else, find commitment somewhere. And that's basically what I held on to, actually. Like, because I really did also believe I had it. I had this amazing faculty that was just pushing me. I had this support actually doing art since I was little. Mm-hmm. And that was...
So even though your parents didn't know it was going to work out, they still supported they still saw that it was something important to you.
So I'm number 6 out of 7.
Jesus. Okay. Important context.
Yeah. So I will say by the time I came around, they were just like, I even say me and my little brother is a second batch.
Okay.
Because there's a gap between the first 5.
What's the gap?
It's like 4 years and then up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it goes all the way to like 10 years apart. So I tell people that they were tired. That's it. They would say, don't get in trouble.
Don't get in trouble.
That's it. I'm like, okay. Like, give me that much. So I would make innocent. I would say I ran into a lot of innocent trouble growing up. So that's why I came to a point of a young adult just so unhappy. Like, what am I doing? Like, you know, I'm trying to listen to what people are telling me what's better for me. And it just didn't seem like it was not working. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, New York happened. I was all like, sold.
Okay. No, do you still have like an intimate relationship with New York? It seems like, from what I understand, New York was like a changing point in your life. And I always talk like I was the episode that's out now. I was talking to my friend Christina about like the Miami art scene. And one of the things that I always like to say, I don't know how accurate it is, you might be able to talk about this, but like Miami to LA is like LA to New York in the art sense, right? Terms of scale, right? Like it's an exponential curve that goes from like Miami to like LA and then New York. Like if you look at the number of galleries New York has, it's not even just the amount of like the ability to just walk out your door and like not have to get into a car, find parking and all of that. Like there's so many David Zwerners, there's so many, Gagosians. Like it's insane when you really start to look into it. Mm-hmm. I just did it recently. I was like, okay, let's look at David Zwerner where they have galleries. It's like
that location, good location. Yes.
It's Chelsea, all these places, you know, that like, to me are only words I've never experienced. But that seems like, you know, in the time of the Renaissance, going to Florence, right? Like in terms of like, holy shit, this is where it's happening.
There's a lot of history.
Yeah.
That's like one of the things you have to give respect for. A lot of things took place in this setting. So, I mean, I actually haven't even gone around myself too much because there's even beyond like America. There's like, you know, the Asia art market market out in the UK. So it's been interesting. New York does have a special place. I remember when I had the Armory, my show there at the Armory in 2022 in September, it was such a big deal to me. Mm. I actually came back because when I left New York, I straight up said, I'm going to be back and I'm going to do exactly what I say I'm going to do. I'm gonna be the artist. And I did exactly that. So
no, I think I'm inspired right now. What's crazy is just that it seems so simple the way you talk about it, but it really is a fucking big accomplishment. Like to just like that again, that deconstruct yourself and reconstruct yourself. That's like magician shit, you know, like that's perceptual change. That's like most people can't accomplish that. That's really, I'm like, fuck, man, I got to get on my shit.
Making time for it is really hard. Yeah. It's the most expensive thing. And I will say I did get lucky when the pandemic happened for everything came together in terms of my career.
But you are also very prepared because you did hit the books for a very long time. And you also came back that bitch. Mm-hmm. You know, which is like amazing. But yeah, that's a really inspiring story. The other thing, okay, so I'm getting to the point with the show. I've been doing it long enough that I'm actually getting people that are at your level of like, you know, like most, this show basically started me interviewing a lot of people that are what I call working class artists. They have day jobs and stuff like that. I include, you know, I would even include people like Elmer in that category because he still teaches, right? Whereas now I'm getting to the opportunity to interview people like you and John Plipchuk. And especially with you two guys, what I find really interesting is how much emotional and life experience still plays a part in it. You know, like it's almost like, not that I expect all of your problems to be solved once you are making art full time, but it is a little surprising that like everybody still makes art from the same place, you know, of like that experience of like, there's pain, there's maybe a little suffering, but there's also like some beauty in that and trying to quantify that. That's not a question. That's just an observation that I find really interesting, but it is super humanizing, you know, because a lot of people get, I think in the art space, it's easy for people to get jealous. I don't think you, it doesn't sound like you ever got jealous. Or if you did, you used it as motivation. It's like, well, if they can, I can too.
Healthy competition. Yeah. That's what we say.
Yeah. Well, you put it really well when you said in the arena.
Because the art scene is, it's, you know, anything could really happen in the art scene. It's a matter of like good timing and just also being prepared. It's a lot of social connections too, like networking. There's a big part of having when you, you know, I can't be just the artist that works in the studio and then that's it. That's all the work that I have to offer. I really do have to show up and speak to people and speak for my work. That's actually super important because just depending on others to speak for it, it doesn't, it never really works out too great. Big part of the being an artist is actually educating the masses.
Mm-hmm. And about your perspective particularly, or educating the masses in what sense?
For me, it's just whatever I can offer. And most of the time it's my experience because mm-hmm. being, it's quite a privilege being an artist and yes. then to be able to sustain myself off of that too. I really,
especially in this world right now, like where the economy is not doing that well, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that you, like you're having a good moment in a time where like the world is maybe not recovering from what happened, you know, in 2020.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not afraid to say COVID, but I'm just saying like, you know, like ever since then, like things have, you know, people are getting laid off and stuff like that. It's really interesting to be having that this moment right now. It must be why you keep saying that it's a privilege because you're seeing.
Totally. And the other thing I'm taking in every day is that I am running a business actually. And I am I am basically the boss and I have to make very selective decisions for me to keep my career and reputation, you know, sustaining.
Do you turn down shows ever and stuff like that? Is that what you're talking about?
Or? Yeah, I do have to turn down shows. You get, there's like, you know, you want to be steady with your pace and you also want a certain caliber of like how you're being, how you're being presented mm-hmm. and just also to like the kind of cohort that you're gathering in your sphere, in your network. So I think it's really important actually to be picky because
not just of the shows that you participate in, but of the cohort you keep around you.
Yeah. Yeah, super important because there's going to just be so many that's what my lifestyle and career is going to be around. You know, I'll have to be meeting a number of new faces while at the same time we'll be seeing a lot of the same ones.
Yeah.
And so it's the great, I really do got to think about like, how should I conduct myself, when it's business conversation and when it's, you know, when you want to be friends and stuff, there's a fine line sometimes.
Oh no, totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. No, I mean like I just doing the shows, I have very specific rules about like who I can hang out with and who I can't, you know? So I totally understand that. The thing that's the question that comes to mind right now is, so you've hit this point where there's demand for your work. And when I was talking to John Plipchuk, he was saying that he hit a moment where he understood that he had to meet, or there was a demand, and the reasonable thing was to sort of hire people to make the work and meet that demand. Has that pressure hit you yet?
Oh yeah. They've been asking for like since last year. When are you going to get assistant? When are you going to get assistant?
Yeah.
And people have asked like, do you need assistant? I've kind of like, I'm caving into it. I've been telling people I do need it. I do need an assistant. But at the same time, I'm just really, I think it's just another level that I didn't realize I was going to grow into so fast. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, it's another relationship. You're also...
Now you're the boss to somebody else.
Yeah.
And you're feeding them.
Yeah. There's so much to it. And the now, work...
They're dependent on your career success and your decision making. Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, like, it doesn't have to be honest. That's what I realized. Like, I just really had... Someone was telling me, like, you really just see it as, like, you know, you being that person that can offer that experience. And, like, it doesn't have to be I'm securing, helping them. Like, it's just really, like, offering what I can offer.
Yeah.
So it's something that I'm... I haven't sent out emails yet. I'm thinking about it.
Don't spam her, guys.
But I certainly am at a place where I am in need of help because the works have gotten bigger. And a lot of the moves, they take up time. Like, there's no way around it. You can't shortcut it. Like, you're going to have to take time to make the move.
What do you mean by the move?
You know, sometimes it's just like, applying a number of lines, like a numerous amounts of lines or dots, or, you know,
the move specifically is on canvas.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if it included other, like, yeah.
There's a lot of other stuff I realized too. Like,
you were giving me a thought. My question's not going anywhere. I'll remember it.
Okay. I was just saying, like, what I need out of assistant too. That's another thing. You realize, like, what do I specifically need from this other artist? Mm-hmm. You know, what are they capable of? So that's, like, another thing too that I'm actually realizing. I'm not so organized in the studio, but at the same time, I see the components I have going on.
I once heard Neil Gaiman say, one thing that it really, like, resonates as I do this more and interact with people, that to be successful, you have to be punctual, easy to work with, and talented. And you don't have to be all three, but you need at least two.
You know, we'll get you the pass.
Yeah. You know, and I'm like, oh yeah, there's a lot of people that miss that easy to work with part in this world. But okay, so the question that I had is it's an interesting pressure to sort of have somebody, maybe people be like, we like you so much that what you're making is not enough. There's not enough of you to go around, right? At what point do you foresee yourself, like, can you conceive of yourself having, like, a full-on studio with multiple assistants generating? And that I want to be careful not to put any judgment in that. These are decisions that are so far removed from me, you know, but these are things that are coming up to you. And what was interesting and what is informing my conversation with you is that conversation with John Plipchuk, because he's much older and he's much deeper into his career. He started in 94, right? So it's interesting to hear your perspective as these things are actively happening to you, mm-hmm. as opposed to his experience. And some people have, like, great success with studios. He said he personally had a hard time with it, but it's an interesting thing when I don't think a lot of artists can relate to the market forces, to the demands of market forces, right? Like, I don't have that experience. I don't have people, like, knocking down my door. Hey, you're not making enough art for us to sell. Mm-hmm, like, what is that? Talk a little bit more about that. I mean, we talked specifically about the need for it, but as a process and is there, like, some reconstruction that's happening constantly? Are you still reevaluating your identity and having to be able to imagine yourself in these, like, even more high pressure, high stakes?
So because the works have grown bigger, it has put some pressure on, like, needing an assistant to help me produce the work. But I have been pressured to make more works, but honestly, like, I tell myself, I don't care.
That's what I find so awesome about you. Like, you have a really, I don't care.
I love art so much, and I really respect what it's done for me. And and that came with the fact of me allowing myself to listen to what I want to do. And so I say a lot, actually, that I don't care to what degree. I really don't. And but then, like, I do care in terms of keeping my career, you know, going.
Well, you're the only one that's going to protect that, right?
So I was like, I go back and forth. I'm all like,
there's like a predatory element maybe of it, right? With that pressure that you have to sort of be like, no.
You got to make sure things are done, Tita. Things need to be done. And at the same time, I'm like, well, today doesn't feel like they want to, as I like, today doesn't feel like a painting day. You know, there's just, I realized there's a lot of mental exercise that I need to do for me to be able to flow, have a flow state. And I make sure that's not messed with in terms of when demand comes knocking on my door. Mm-hmm. Just really learned to just, I say, just, you know, see what could possibly come through the door, because I don't want to have to rush into a decision.
Yeah.
There's always usually something coming around the corner. I realize too, there's always opportunities that could be brought into light, you know, spontaneously. So it has happened that way for me. So I really don't worry so much now about meeting someone else's demand, but mine.
Yeah. That's like super mature. I don't think even at 30, I don't think I had those boundaries. But this is all really fascinating. I hope I'm not like nerding out too much on the business, on the stuff that maybe isn't so much about the art itself. But it is a really interesting, precarious place to find yourself in, you know, like, and do you have like mentors? How do you it almost gives me anxiety because I wouldn't know how to deal with these situations, right? And so then, is there mentorship? Do you have like a therapist you rely on? Like, how do you navigate? Because it's not this is an industry that it's a little bit like the movie industry, where there's like, I think even in the movie industry it's a little bit more like, well, you get an agent and then that agent gets you gigs, right? Whereas like over here, it's like there's no path.
Free range.
Yeah, it's free range. Yeah. Free range artist is a very funny visual.
So for how I say big the art world can be, it's actually quite small. Mm-hmm. And I think from there you start realizing there are major players in how the industry moves. As you got, you know, people located here in Southern California, people located in New York, and some of these people move back and forth. So for me, I started realizing the roles that these specific people had in terms of how projects come into fruition. Some of these people are, you know, participated in major exhibitions that took place in past times. And once I started learning and educating myself of the landscape, I started thinking about also the personality of the mission that was taking place with this person. Mm. That really helped me, you know.
It's like like the branding almost.
Yeah. Like, how do you want to brand yourself? And, how do you want your reputation to spring forward? And,
do you, as a side note, I don't want to disrupt your flow, but as a side note, do you find any situations where you feel like maybe your ethnic and racial background are like where the pitches are maybe a little exploitative and don't quite feel, does that happen?
Well, it definitely had, based when the pandemic happened, that was basically kind of what happened, just because it shook the market up, you know, everything got thrown in the air. And then all the narrative that was coming in the forefront was actually like people of color mm-hmm. and their stories, more representational work. And I was definitely part of that fold, and I rode that wave. Mm. And so I am coming to an interesting place now where I'm being asked, like, where do I see myself moving in the future with my work? Will I still continue doing, you know, the kind of subject matter and like still be doing figurative representation? But I have this abstract background.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something I had only done in school. So it's not even something I had folded into the arena yet. And I'm actually excited about that. It makes me think that that's definitely a seed that's planted. And I already knew that it was probably going to happen. It's going to happen at one point. I just don't know when to either.
But in terms of the it feeling predatory, it's mostly been good opportunities, right? Like, because the way I framed it doesn't sound like the way it actually played out for you, right? The way I framed it was like maybe somebody was like shady and doing it, but in your example, it seems, or in your experience, it seems like it's been mostly a positive and non-exploitative situation.
Try not to be tokenized. That's yeah, the thing.
That's kind of the question, yeah.
And I guess in this sense, like, there's no point in saying that just because, like, I purposely already knew that as a Southeast Asian American painter, female, that there's not even an example of me. So I got to own it already.
Yeah, yeah.
So why not do it anyway?
And people are going to talk about it anyway. Right.
Yes.
Like, even if you do abstraction stuff, then you will be marketed as a person of color that does.
Anyway, yeah, right? You yeah. See, yeah. So I was like, it's a
personal experience. It's not, you know, it's my concern is not that you're exploiting it. My concern is that the art world sort of doesn't really understand these things when you get down to the nitty gritty of it. Like they like to signal that they do, you know, but it certainly seems like you have a good, like, no, this is bullshit. You know, mm-hmm. I sense that for, like, immediately from you, you know, like, and even as you were kind of asking me questions, and I was like, oh, okay, no, she's sizing me up, which I totally appreciate. I mean, you have every right to do that. You're coming on to my, you're in my arena.
Yes.
But I can see that you already have that as a defense mechanism, you know, which is interesting because you obviously, you know, like, obviously I want you on the show because you're a successful artist. You know, there is something that I, as somebody that is inviting you in this professional context, I do gain benefit from you. So I want to acknowledge that, but I'm sure that that's constantly happening to you, you know, where people see you as a person, you know, and like, we don't have a personal relationship. So I think it's a little bit different, but I noticed doing the show that it does muddy the waters as to like, who are my friends and who are the people that think I'm an opportunity, you know? And sometimes people will say things and you're like, oh, in the back of your mind, that still is there, you know, mm-hmm. of like, oh, Javier has a podcast. Like, it's not a huge podcast, but even that, like, it's like, you know, like if you run an artist space, I'm sure it's similar. Mm-hmm. So I just find that interesting. Just picking up on that mechanism, which I admire and respect. And now I see, you know, you're not going to be duped anytime soon, you know?
Well, you know, you live and you learn. You go through a lot of, I'm still learning actually a lot of what it means to run the business. And like, even still, I'm still learning the landscape. I would still say right now.
But
like,
you learn pretty fast. I mean, I've learned just talking to you for an hour. It's not, it's like,
I leap in, man. I leap. I'll take the leap.
No, I totally appreciate it. I like you. There's something about your personality that I think is very refreshing. Do you have to run somewhere?
No. I got just after this interview, I definitely got to call somebody.
Is it a work thing or a family thing?
A work thing.
Okay, cool. Well, we're almost done, and I don't want to take up too much of your time with my I don't know the art world as well as you questions. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you maybe wanted to talk about as you were, you know, sometimes people have an idea of something they wanted to say on the podcast and they don't get to say it. So this is usually where I'm like, It's okay if you don't have anything.
Yeah, I don't think that was pretty good.
No, that was great, dude. Yeah. I'm so happy with this. This is a very, very, I learned so much from you, and I'm very grateful for you to take it, for taking the time.
Thank you for having me over.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Anything that we can promote for you?
Next show up is at Night Gallery in LA. Oh, okay. That's slated for April, the week of 420, but the date's still floating. So keep an eye out.
I will definitely come check that out. Yeah. I like the programming, and I'm not at all surprised that you're in there. And then, where can people find you on Instagram and,
So I have a website, but Instagram is like the most active. So it's, Tita Whitney, my first name.
Okay, Tita Whitney first name. Mm-hmm. And where's Tita Whitney from in South Pacific Island culture?
Tita is actually, the first part of my name comes from an angel named back in my mom's motherland in Cambodia, Tita, Prestida. And then Whitney, that day when my mom was in labor with me, my dad and uncle was driving and Whitney Houston came on the radio.
I love it.
They slapped it together.
Well, it's been an honor to have you on. I really appreciate you taking the time, and thank you so much. You are like 13 years my junior and so much wiser.
Oh, thanks, Javier.
I'm gonna be watching your business moves and trying to emulate and learn from where I can. And thank you guys for watching. We'll be back next week with another guest and another topic that may or may not be art related.